Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab, also on them.
Service plan required for watch or tab. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and it's time for this week's matchups episode on the defense. You probably already heard the offense episode a little bit earlier this week. If not, go back and listen to that. A lot of good points made by co-host Frazier Tafar about Max Crosby, about how to get Henry involved more in the game, whether that was leveraging the mesh point or otherwise penetrating at the point of attack, regardless of an eight-man box in this game. So this will be some interesting stuff on that, worth a listen. Frazier Tafar, of course, my co-host on this show. We're about to talk about the defense. Frazier, how are you doing?
Doing good, Ken. Glad to be here to talk about the defense, who can see much improvement from last week in terms of all things around personnel, scheme, all things alike.
It's more of a normal game. Obviously, you know, if you're looking at that, this is a bell curve of the quality of opponents. The Raiders would be towards that left end, and the Chiefs would be towards the right end. Yep. But this is a game where, you know, I expect to see a return normalization of offense. I expect to see kind of an identity develop for the Ravens offense, who they really want to be on offense, because they have multiple ways they can attack a team like the Raiders. And we went over that in the first episode. This is about the defense, though. Some similar concepts apply. The Ravens could be a pass rush team if they want to, or they can drop seven and try and let Gardner Minshew make some mistakes. And I think we'll start off with that. I'm of the opinion that Gardner Minshew is a shorter quarterback. I think one of the ways to attack him is with lots of stunts to potentially clog up the passing lanes. It doesn't mean you have to rush more than four, although I think last year we saw Gardner Minshew get sacked three times by Hamilton off the slot. And all three times were right side slot where it was right in his face and he still couldn't do anything about it. Okay, so that's a good sign that if Minshew is that guy, that he's going to have trouble getting rid of the football easily. Good opportunity for some different four-man pressures. So you can drop an outside linebacker. You can do some things this week. But Minshew's height being an issue, I really want them to clog up passing lanes by stunts. So they don't worry too much about the rush. He'll get away a couple times, but for the most part, he's not going to be an enormous run threat like Jackson is, and that they use their various assets to extend the play on him, and that should create some opportunity.
Yeah, and I think we have the dogs up front to do it. I think Matt Abike, and hopefully we don't see Urban be a scratch this week again. I really want to see him. Yeah, that was not the best idea. I was livid when I seen that, but this week I'm expecting Urban to be in there. He's a big sized lineman. He can get his paws up, get into those passing lanes, like you mentioned. Travis Jones penetrating. He had the penetration on Mahomes on the interception, just continuing to be a force up front. We can make him uncomfortable, especially if Odafe and Ojabo are continuing to be the bookends on the outside, compressing him and not letting him escape. I think bodes well for our success against Minshew.
Yeah, absolutely. You're talking about the inside rush here. Now, I was anticipating, based on our production meeting, that you also favor a different approach to guarding Minshew.
Yes, based on my matchup, I think the way we beat Gardner Minshew is with our back seven. I think we have a lot of talent and speed, especially at the corner position. Really only one big boo-boo in the sense of the big play to Worthy on the sideline, busted coverage. Other than that, I think we kept the lid on the defense. Lid on offense against the Kansas City Chiefs. Really those inside slants to Rice killed us, only because we stopped putting Trenton Simpson out there and tried to experiment with Harrison, which wasn't the best thing. I think that's the way that we're able to contain Gardner Minshew. Last year when we faced him with the Colts, rainy game, pretty sloppy. I'm hoping the conditions this week is neutral and we don't have any wacky plays go in his favor.
It'll be nice to see Hamilton get to play the entire game where he has the option at least to play slot corner.
Yep.
And he can be very effective in that role, as we saw versus Minshew. I believe there was an injury. Let's see, Worley played the whole game, but it might have been Marcus Williams missed some time in that third week, which forced Hamilton to the back end in that game. And it really did not want that. Or it might have been Hamilton got hurt. I'm actually forgetting exactly what happened. But there were multiple times during the season where Hamilton, either due to his own injury or due to somebody else's injury, had to continue to play on the back end. The Ravens are much better set this year to not have that occur. And Hamilton is due for a much bigger game, I think, against Minshew and the Raiders this week.
Yep. And I think people were doubting his performance against Kansas City. I think it was just the ebbs and flow of the game. I think he was there. They weren't throwing his way. I didn't really see any passes completed towards him. So I think that's a good sign in his overall just development as a player. He's continuing to be all pro. So like you said, this could be the game where he puts himself back on the map.
Mahomes is certainly a guy who will, as Wink Martindale, find that guy. They will find that guy, is what Wink always used to say. I think pretty much every defensive coordinator, that's a pretty standard lament, is that if you have a good opposing quarterback, doesn't matter what you do, they're going to find the weakness.
Yep.
So Mahomes definitely figured it out pretty early. And they ran bunch after bunch after bunch with pick and rub routes, and Ravens just could not figure out a solution to it. That's my biggest fear about a game like this, is that I really hope that that's not an indication of his adaptability in game, because it's not a good sign if it is. It's something that would be a ongoing thing. But you know, it's also Mahomes. So yep. Sometimes this came up on the defensive pod, so I'll just repeat it as it was. But sometimes you need a backhoe to solve the problem, and you know, you've got a trowel and a rake, and those are the only tools you have. And you know, it's just you just don't have a solution to the problem. So, but I thought that Coach Derek of All 22 Films came up with a good idea, which was drop an outside linebacker, give up some pass rush, and try and get a 2-for-1 break up on that bunch route. So I thought that was a pretty good solution. Anyway, thanks, Coach Derek, for doing that show.
Derek's amazing. I listen to his YouTube page. He has very good content, very insightful. To your point, my second point for the defense would be the Ravens versus the Ravens in the sense of alignment and deployment of personnel. We wasted two timeouts in the second half because of people coming on the field late or just not being set. Those things, and also we gave up a touchdown due to missed coverage or misassignment. These things cannot happen if we want to continue on the path that we are going on.
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium, 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious, high-potency gummies, top-shelf flower, home-baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary, you can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
This is essentially a get-right game for the defense, being able to have Zach Orr get locked in on the play calling, on the personnel, not really experiment as much as that we did last week, and really have a real understanding of what we want in terms of, okay, is Trenton Simpson going to be on the field all game? Are we going to put Malik Harrison in at edge and not in at linebacker this week?
Right.
Especially due to Van Noy being hurt. I think that is the route that we should go. But having those kinks worked out is going to be crucial for us in the future.
Okay. So I'm going to give you three choices, and the leprechaun comes to you and he says, you can have one of three problems solved. Okay. You can have, or be as adaptable as McDonald was last year. And you don't know, maybe he will be, but it didn't really seem like it from the first game, but maybe he still will be. So we really don't know if that problem can solve on its own. And that's the nature of these three problems I'm going to get at. Number two is the Ravens tackling is solved. And they go to a below the league average tackle rate, which Ravens fans might normally expect, where they were, I think, 19% in this first week. They're very high. This tackle rate in this game was part of the reason they lost to the Chiefs. And I forgot what number three is. And that makes it be not as good when I do this. Oh, yeah. Or there's no coverage breakdowns. That's the third one. Okay. So that could fix itself on its own, too.
Yeah.
Which of those things do you think is less likely to be solved on its own, such that you'd use your one wish to get it solved? And everybody, if you're out there, it's just a thought experiment. That's not how football works. Don't do that. I mean, most of the people who listen to this podcast actually are pretty good with thought experiments. But think through it yourself and try and come up with what's the one thing. And by the way, toss that at me on Twitter if you want to. Is tell me, what would you really like to see the one problem solve? So again, the three choices are no coverage breakdowns, back to a below average, an above average missed tackle rate, which means fewer missed tackles, or suddenly is as adaptable as McDonald was in 23, say. So you have those three choices. You can make one of them happen. The other two, you have to let it ride with the Ravens personnel that we're coaching and how they figure it out. Anyway, please toss that in Twitter and you can tell me at the end of the episode. I'll let you give you a little bit of time to think about it, Frazier, before we come back to it. And in the meantime, I'm going to go into my last item, which is I think they need to trust in Trenton Simpson here.
Yep.
On the early downs.
Yep.
Okay. Now, Simpson already looked like a pretty darn good coverage player with two passes deflected. He had the one play where he was able to stay. I forget if it was Rice or it was somebody else that he was able to stay with close enough Rice. That he got his fingertip on the football. There you go. Yep. Fingertip on the football and got knocked away. And then he also mirrored Mahomes well as what is effectively a spy, and got in position to deflect the ball. Would have been a pass defense if the ball had dropped incomplete, but Mahomes caught it himself for a 2-yard gain. So the pass defense was wiped out because of that. Really outstanding game of coverage from him. He wasn't without errors, but that's really good if he can do that against Patrick Mahomes, because we saw good things in the preseason from his ability to drop deep and make some plays. And I thought we saw enough from him in the preseason in terms of run defense to hope that it will work out well with Roquan. I don't think he's going to be the leader. I think he's a weak side guy.
Yep.
I think that's the way you want to play him. And he's a which means that most of his responsibilities is as the trailing player, not always, but most. And that will give him, I think, a pretty good chance following Roquan to understand what his gap assignment is and be in position more often, get caught in the wash probably less often. And be a more effective linebacker. But I think he's got to be on the field on early downs. I think Harrison just provides a deer with the target birthmark kind of a way at this point in his career.
Yeah, early in the game, I personally was getting very frustrated with Orr and the personnel. Like you mentioned, adaptability was really getting to me. Just being hard-headed with Harrison in the game. I was screaming for dime at that point because I just...
And then you got it.
Yeah, because you knew it was coming. They were trying to get the inside slants going against our linebackers. And it's just they tried to match up Harrison one time because initially Simpson had that pass deflection on Rice. Harrison was in the same identical situation and he missed by inches. So there's your marginal difference between those two players. Right. And it's... Having Simpson on is almost having another dime, essentially, just based on his coverage skills. And then you add the fact that he's a tackling linebacker, makes it even all worth the while. I think almost having him in exclusively like we did Plaster Queen should be the plan moving forward, unless he proves he's not reliable on third downs.
By the way, I don't know if you saw how bad a game Patrick Queen had in week one. Did you see?
I loved it. Standing, yeah. Looking around, not making his moves, getting blocked 6 yards down the line of scrimmage. I mean, it's what do you expect from someone who's not in a linebacker? He's thinking too much out there.
Four missed tackles. He made three, a 57.1 missed tackle rate in week one for Patrick Queen. So the Steelers getting what they paid for is just a great deal as far as I'm concerned.
Love it.
All right.
Love it.
Always great talking football with you, Frazier. Tell folks where they can talk football with you online.
You guys can reach me at @X/Twitter at @F_Rave8. That's @F_RAVE8.
All right, folks, I won't ask you to do anything. You can write us a 50-word review if you want. Show this to another friend if you want. Hit up, like and subscribe on all that crap. It will help us slightly with the algorithm on YouTube. But what I really like to hear is just hit me up with either a DM or a comment on Twitter with relation to which of the three wishes you would make to solve. For again, the three choices are adaptability of or. Tackling problems are fixed or assignment problems are fixed. And the other two, you have to live with the Ravens fixing it on their own.
If you had to ask me right now, I think I would take the tackling because
it's a big
tackling is very important. If you're able to shore up and not add additional yards to a carry or a catch, it gives you a better chance of stopping them in between the 20 and the 40.
Okay, I think I would take adaptability. And it's not that I don't think there's a pretty good chance of that being okay. It's just I really trust the tackling to come around and I really trust the missed assignments to come around. So I think if you had to do it, if you make or into the same kind of adaptability as McDonald, I think you get a gain out of that. All right. Well, for Frazier Tappar, this is Ken McHugh saying goodbye and we'll talk to you next week on Matchups.